Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. The power to expand gambling, including slot machines, belongs exclusively to Florida lawmakers, the Florida Supreme Court unanimously ruled last week. The highly anticipated decision likely signals an end to efforts by Lee and other counties to expand gambling and slot machine games through local voter referenda. But how did a small panhandle county's decision to add slot machines spark a statewide debate about gambling? And exactly how do horse and dog racing factor into Florida's existing gambling system? Here to talk us through the decision and more is News Service of Florida reporter Derek Hamm. She's been following this story as it made its way to the highest court in Florida. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are talking about gambling in Florida and a decision by the Supreme Court that says local counties cannot expand gambling. What do you think is the right way to tackle it? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dara, please take us to the beginning. This case is called the Gretna Racing versus the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation. What is Gretna Racing?
Sure. Gretna Racing is this tiny little panhandle horse track in Gretna, which is in Gadsden County, not too far from Tallahassee, where all the decision makers are. Mm-hmm. And they opened up in 2012, early in 2012. In fact, I went over there for one of their first races. And they were unique because they were the first horse track in the country to get a license or get a permit for gambling activities based on a rodeo style barrel racing. So it was very shocking at the time. Some of your listeners might remember there was a lot of hand-wringing in Tallahassee and around the state, certainly in the horse industry, over whether they should have even had that license. So the gambling regulators granted them what's called a parimutuel license, which parimutuel basically means pooled betting license, based on their barrel racing activities. And then a year later, the courts decided, no, barrel racing isn't a legitimate parimutuel. I'm using air quotes. I guess your listeners can't see me using air quotes.
But. Yeah. So yeah. They basically, what they were having was barrel races, which you normally see at a rodeo, instead of having them go around a ring.
Right. Instead of having them go on an oval track with multiple horses, it's not just that they're not going around an oval a ring, but there's just two riders riding against each other, and it's more of a spectacle than a true race.
Okay. And
gosh.
Now, how did slot machines factor into that?
Well, they intended always. The folks always intended to have slots. So their investors are Porch Creek Indians, Alabama-based Indian, Native American tribe, and they've put up a lot of the money for the development of this site. And their actual facility has a breakaway wall that was designed to accommodate slot machines. So they have this barrel racing activity, which no longer is barrel racing. It's now flag drop or some other horse race. And they've got a poker room, so that we need to let everyone know that the reason why everyone wants slot machines is because, of course, they make a lot more money than traditional gambling activities.
I think that's kind of like
you need to have live races. You need to have live races like horse racing or dog racing or highlight matches in order to be eligible to have more lucrative card rooms or slot machines.
And that's called that's the coupling thing.
Facility. Yeah, exactly.
And that's another air quote word, coupling, where you have to have races. You have to have horse races or dog races, and then you can apply to get slots, correct?
I've never heard of of it is coupling, but decoupling basically means you can stop having to have the live races and you can still have the more lucrative activity. I keep using lucrative, but the money making, you know, the cash cows, which is the poker rooms and slots. So yes, that's what decoupling is.
Okay. So then I just made up coupling.
So, I know
I've heard of decoupling because people want to try to get these two things separated from one another, and that's been something else on the table. So then did Gadsden have a vote in 2012 to expand slots?
Sure they did, and Gadsden is very economically depressed. It's actually the only county in Florida where there's a majority of African American. The population is a majority African American. And, you know, they've had a lot of economic problems after, we can go back and talk about that, but the tobacco industry shut down over there, and so they've tried to generate jobs, and many of the local officials viewed this, and certainly the local voters viewed this as an economic engine for them, and that this would be kind of the economic savior. It would create thousands of jobs, and it would bring money into the community. And, you know, so they went, pardon the cliche, all in on this. And but the Supreme Court said, no, you can't, you know, counties can't hold these constitutional amendments unless they're authorized either by the legislature or by a constitutional amendment. So I'm sorry, I said counties can't hold these referenda is what I meant.
Okay.
So they can't hold these local votes. These local votes have to be authorized either by the legislature or by the Constitution. And that really was the heart of what was a very complicated and kind of unwieldy Supreme Court decision last week. But it basically said, Gretna didn't even have the authority to hold this constitutional amendment without preparation, and that applies also to the referendum in Lee County and in all of the eight counties that held these local votes.
So they would have local votes with these referenda trying to get their local county to be able to have the slots and the gambling that they're looking for. But is there no rule on the in the state constitution that says nobody can have that?
Well, I mean, that's interesting. The state, the folks on the Gretna side made an argument that said that home rule counties can, you know, that they're in charge of deciding all matters countywide. And the majority is, and one of the interesting things about this decision was that it was unanimous, and many of the folks, I cover gambling quite intensely. I'm on the Vice beat. I cover gambling and pot. And so I know a lot about this, and none of the folks who I know anticipated a unanimous decision in this case. They thought that it would be split. But what they said was that the counties, while the counties have a broad exercise of home rule powers, that doesn't give them the authority to hold a referendum like the one in Lee or in Gadsden unless it actually is limited to the powers of the county to conduct its own government. So in other words, if you're a county and you've got, and you're in control of sewer and water, you know, utility services, you can hold a referendum dealing with taxation of that or issues related to that. But this gambling issue is something that is sort of hanging out there as a special state regulated issue, and it's not something that's left up to the counties to regulate.
Yeah. So we are talking to reporter Derek Hamm about horse racing slot machines in a recent Florida Supreme Court decision that puts the kibosh on efforts to expand gambling in the state. Give us a call with your thoughts or questions at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We do have a call online from Charmaine in Naples who had a comment or a question about dog or horse racing. Can you tell us what you'd like to ask?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I work with a lot of animal welfare groups, and we really are having a hard time understanding why greyhounds have to lay in cages in Sarasota all day so people can play one-eyed jacks and Texas Hold'em. And, you know, if you look at it, Florida is one of the few states that still has greyhound racing. And really, it's not racing. It's greyhounds living a miserable life and dying a horrible death because somebody wants to play cards. And you know what? We don't care. We don't care if they play cards. We don't care if they have slot machines. Hell, we don't care if they smoke pot and play cards. But just leave the animals out of it. It doesn't make any sense. Sure. Why do these animals have to suffer? Every year, we're trying to get adoptive homes for these wonderful greyhounds so that they don't just get killed en masse because they're worthless. And there's no point to it. I can't speak to horse racing because I don't know that, but I think it's equally exploitive.
All right. Thank you, Charmaine, for your comment. Is there any discussion about animal rights when it comes to these kinds
absolutely,
of gambling things?
Absolutely. And we mentioned decoupling earlier. And, you know, there's two arguments. The one argument, the argument against decoupling is, look, this was the activity that allowed you to get the license to do the things that make you money now. You know, I don't know, you know, if your folks remember, but dog racing was a very glamorous, very popular activity back in the day, way back in the day. And there's arguments about whether, you know, the state is subsidizing it and whether it's still a viable business activity or not. But the opponents of decoupling, who include the greyhound industry, the owners, breeders, and trainers, say that, look, you got this license based on this activity, and, you know, if you don't want to do it anymore, fine, give up your license. But you shouldn't be allowed to do the other things that are lagniappe, that are extras, that you wouldn't be able to do if you weren't, but for the dog racing. Other people say, look, the dogs are just sort of victims because nobody's really going there to watch the dog races. There are only 6 states now that have greyhound racing, and Florida and Alabama are the only 2 of those states that do not require injury reporting of the animals, of the racing animals. And that was something that was very important for proponents of the animal rights, especially the greyhound rights. Grey 2K is the leading proponent of requiring regulations to require reporting. That didn't pass because it got held up and, you know, the whole bigger gambling bill that went nowhere. This has been an effort for many years now where they've tried to require reporting of injuries and a minimum. And they're clear that this is an effort to do away with greyhound racing altogether.
Yeah. So we were talking about a recent decision about gambling in Florida with reporter Derek Hamm. What are your thoughts when it comes to following or allowing gambling in Florida? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So we have now, Dara, a 20-page ruling from the Supreme Court that's laying out their unanimous decision, which was odd, that rejected Gretna's efforts to have slot machines. What did they ultimately – what are the nuts and bolts of what they decided?
They basically said, I think I jumped ahead, I'm sorry. They basically said that, you know, that the county didn't have the authority to even hold the referendum. That the only way that there's a constitutional amendment that was approved by voters in 2004 And that limited the expansion of gambling to Miami-Dade and Broward counties. And it only if those voters would approve local referenda, which they did, which is why they have slot machines in Broward and Miami-Dade, because it went first to a statewide vote and then to a local referendum. And the court unanimously ruled on Thursday that the counties don't have the authority to just decide that they want, even if the voters are, you know, 100% in favor of it, the counties don't have the authority to decide that they want to expand slot machine gambling. In fact, the majority opinion said that allowing the counties to decide this through a referendum would be the same thing as allowing the counties to issue a slots machine license just on their own. So clearly they're saying counties don't have the authority unless they've gotten statutory or constitutional permission to hold those. So it's a little bit confusing when we say voters don't have the right. Voters will have the right. It could be in control of voters, but it's only in the voters' hands if the counties have permission from either the legislature or a constitutional amendment before letting it go to the voters. Well, and then we can talk about the questions about, you know, whether the legislature actually has that authority or not, but that's a whole separate issue.
Well, there's a constitutional amendment that's heading in front of voters in 2018 that's related to gambling,
right.
And it's called Voter Control of Gambling in Florida. It claims and I'm using the air quotes, ensure that Florida voters have the exclusive right to decide whether to authorize casino gambling, and it also seeks to define what casino gambling actually is. Is that going to remove the Florida legislature's ability to control gambling?
Exactly. And some might argue that the legislature already doesn't have that authority, but this would certainly clear up any confusion about whether or not they do. So, you know, this is coming on the heels of this Gretna decision. This put, and many people who I've spoken with in the gambling community on both sides anticipate that this is going to pass. Although, let's remember, it does require 60%.
And then also, as we saw this last legislative session, once it passes, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's just going to slide right through the legislature as it's written.
That the legislature is going to actually implement it, right?
So we have another, it could take a while. So we do have another call coming in from James in Fort Myers. James, what would you like to ask?
Hello?
Hi, James. What was your question?
My question is, they legalize certain types of gambling, but like craps is not legal in this state, which is a shame. And the thing is, gambling goes on whether it's legalized or not. So why not legalize it more so that the state makes more income?
Okay, well, that's a good question, James, and I guess I'll leave that to Dara. Has anybody considered just going ahead and legalizing it and making it cash cow for the state?
I'm sorry, I had a little bit of a hard time hearing him. Was he saying legalize craps?
No, craps. No, he was saying that people gamble anyway, whether it's legal or not, so why not just legalize it? And that was the question from James.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, that's because they're, you know, the Florida House of Representatives is dominated by conservatives, and they are very reluctant to expand gambling in any way. And so they don't want to do anything. Let's remember what their districts are like. In the Senate, they're much more liberal and they're much more open to an expansion of gambling. Well, the Senate districts are larger. In the House districts, they're much smaller and, you know, they're much more likely to come up against an even more conservative opponent. And the fear is that they will get voted out of office if they vote for an expansion of gambling on the one hand. On the other hand, some of them genuinely think that it's bad. You know, it's morally bad. It's bad for people. It's a sin tax. If more poor people participate in it, it opens up the communities to, I'm trying to think of a politically correct way of saying it, to organized crime and to associated crime. And so they actually, you know, they have objections based on all of those issues. And for them, the money, the potential revenue that the state could get from opening it up is not worth the potential social cost.
And then there's also the multi-billion dollar, potentially 20-year deal between the state of Florida and the Seminole tribe.
That's right.
So,
exactly.
Is this going to be...
Yes, and so how that would affect the Seminole tribe, I mean, the state has to be doing a big, whew, you know, I'm doing a virtual wiping of my brow.
So the state's feeling, you think that legislators maybe are feeling relieved with this Supreme Court decision?
They are. I've spoken with them, and they absolutely are, yeah.
That's kind of been their...
Yeah, because...
That's been their reaction. Sorry. They're relieved that the Supreme Court went this way?
Absolutely. It takes the pressure off them to have to try to come up with some, you know, some scenario in which they can appease the Seminoles. It buys them time in trying to create, you know, recraft this agreement they have with the Seminoles, which is about $120 million a year just from the slot machines. And we know that that deal regarding the banked card games like blackjack is in federal court, and the state lost on that. And so we don't know what's going to happen with the money that would come from that, which is even more. But basically, you know, it's not a huge pile of money when you think of a $72 billion or $73 billion budget, but it's a reliable amount of money. And an expansion of slot machines around the state would have a significant impact on the state's ability to capitalize on that revenue share. So yes, they are very relieved that they're not, and because also, if that court decision had ruled, if the court had ruled in favor of Gretna, then it would have opened the door for, I think, about 10 other counties. And so what legislators were telling me was we would have had to have a special session to basically put the, you know, to stop this staunch, this flow, and to prohibit any other counties from being able to capitalize on this.
Yeah.
So now they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And then we'll keep an eye on that 2018 constitutional amendment. So we're going to have to leave it there. And I want to thank you so much, Dara Kim, with the News Service of Florida, for talking with us and going over this pretty complicated subject. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Too boring. Thanks.
No. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.